You're listening to a sermon from Lagos Baptist Church. Lagos exists by God's grace to reach our neighbors and the nations with the good news of Jesus Christ. You're invited to worship with us this Sunday morning. Sunday school meets at 9 a.m. and our worship service begins at 10 a.m. And now, today's message from God's Word.
I invite you to take your Bibles, open to 2 Thessalonians. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, you'll find one there under the row in front of you there with the hymnals. By the way, if you don't have one of those, a copy of God's Word, use ours and then take it with you and let that be yours. That'll be our gift to you. We definitely want you to have a copy of the Scriptures. 2 Thessalonians, as you know, we have for several months now been working through these two letters, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. We're getting near the end. I like what Paul does here in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. He says, finally, but then he goes on for another whole chapter. So, as you know, sometimes when pastors say finally or summary, there's a lot more to come. But it's a good, good word this morning. What part do we play in spreading the gospel? What part do we play in spreading the gospel? Before we look at those five verses, I want you to think with me. How many of you know what kudzu is? You know what kudzu is? By the way, I like to run Westgate Trail, and back, it wasn't just a week ago, we were getting like a lot of rain. Like now we're having a drought. Next week's like really, really hot. But so I've been running. The bikers don't like for you to do this, but when it's really muddy, I don't want to ruin my shoes. So sometimes I run the bike path. I mean, don't like call Dothan Police Department or anything. But as you come out there on the backside over there near those soccer fields, kudzu's starting to run over the trail. I want to go with my weed eater. I don't know if I have permission to do that, but it's bothering me. Because you know what kudzu will do? It will just take over. You ever notice? I notice when you're driving along the road. Well, by the way, I think it was an invasive species, but it was brought here for like erosion control. Like, hey, we have a great idea. We're going to control erosion. And I went down a rabbit hole last week, got to researching kudzu. The good news is they say people that are alarmed about it growing on roadways, once it gets over into your timber, it doesn't do as well, so they tell me. But nonetheless, kudzu, have you noticed, like, you'll see all the power poles and stuff, and then kudzu starts, like, climbing up, and you'll come by, like, 6 months later, and you can't even see the power poles and lines, that they've just been engulfed. And so I'm not an expert in kudzu, but kudzu spreads rapidly. Spreads rapidly. And this morning in our passage, Paul's going to talk about the gospel, the good news about Jesus spreading rapidly. And I want you to think about this, how God's plan to save people. What does it say about God, that He has made a way to save us, to fix us, to reconcile to Himself? How loving is He that He would do that? And then, by the way, His cure, the good news about Jesus, who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, that it's God's plan that that would spread like kudzu everywhere, and that it would spread rapidly. That's good, isn't it? By the way, you could say, hey, you know, God could have, like, said He's going to just save a few folks and kept that real tight and not let it spread. But I love this phrase that you're going to see in our first verse of our text this morning, and we're thinking about what part do we play in spreading the gospel. And we do have a part to play. So if you're able, would you stand while I read our text for this morning, 2 Thessalonians 3. If you're not able, don't worry about that. And you stay right there where you are. Word of the Lord from 2 Thessalonians 3, starting there in verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will continue to do what we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. Word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, even as we read in that first verse, the word of the Lord, your revelation of yourself to us. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you that your word reveals him so clearly. Lord, your word's all about him. Lord, it's all about you, but it includes us. And we thank you that your gospel has, by your grace, Lord, spread to us, that we've heard the good news, and we want to be involved in spreading your gospel. And so we pray this morning for your Spirit's help. We pray that he would help us see and understand your word, and we'd understand how we are to live it, to apply it, how it affects who we are in every area of our life, Lord, our home life, our work life, our play life, Lord, all our family life, all of that. God, we pray that you would work powerfully in us today for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What you've got there, as I mentioned, that first word finally in verse 1, Paul's getting ready to summarize. In these first five verses, I'm doing the best I can to come up with the big umbrella, and I think it's appropriate that what part do we play in spreading the gospel? So his prayer there, request for prayer, that the word of the Lord would spread rapidly. But we've got in these five verses these general exhortations before what's coming. And next week, what's coming, Lord willing, in verses 6 through 15, is he's going to call out a problem that's not affecting everyone at Thessalonica, but it's affecting some at Thessalonica, and it's an ongoing problem because he mentioned it in 1 Thessalonians. He's going to call out the problem of laziness, idleness. Hey, if somebody won't work, then you tell them they're not even to be able to eat. That would shake our culture, wouldn't it? People that don't work shouldn't eat. And now he's talking about the church. There were some church members who were not working, who were taking advantage of the church's benevolence funds. Hey, you take care of us. You know, you pay our rent and pay our lights and buy our groceries and take care of us. And that was wrapped up in a misunderstanding about Christ. Second coming. And so that's what's coming, but these general exhortations we have in these first five verses are what we want to focus on today. So what part do we play in spreading the gospel? The key word, the key phrase I want to look at is mentioned. Look there at verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, so brothers and sisters, and he addresses them as brothers and sisters over and over and over. We shouldn't run past that. What a blessing it is that we've been united to Christ and also to all other Christians. Finally, brethren, pray for us. We'll say more about that in a minute. That the word of the Lord, that's sort of an unusual way for Paul to refer. It's not his normal way for referring to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified. So the word of the Lord is the gospel and will spread rapidly. Now, literally, that spread rapidly, some of your translations might have a text note on that the word might run well. The word might run well. That the gospel would run. You picture the gospel running. And by the way, I believe he's drawing on Psalm 147 for that. Because listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 147, 15, talking about God's word. He sends forth his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. We don't think about God's word running, but isn't that a picture of what God does? Isn't that a picture of his grace? Like I said, he would make a way to save us, and then he would run that word out to people. So what a profound reality and thought. And we have an integral part to play in spreading the gospel. So let's get to it. Number one, first part we play is the gospel advances by the prayers of the saints. The gospel advances by the prayers of the saints. When I have a sermon title and I present it in my mind and probably in your hearing, what part do we play in spreading the gospel? I'm like, okay, you tell me what I need to do. What is it I need to do? I like simple. Here's what you need to do. And the first thing Paul says we need to do is sort of nothing for us to do but to do something more powerful than our doing, and that's to pray. Doesn't prayer, I'm just, y'all, don't throw rocks at the preacher. Doesn't prayer often feel not very powerful. I vote by myself. There's one guy, he says, prayer doesn't feel. That's why we have God's word, because it doesn't matter how it feels. Look at this. Look at verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Now, this is interesting. He's writing a letter to the Thessalonians. He's just, look back at chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. He's just prayed for them. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. That good work, good word. And now he says in verse 1, brethren, pray for us. So Paul, look back to chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy are back in Corinth. And they're working hard to make Jesus known where they are. And he's not even talking to them about Thessalonica or them. He's saying, y'all over there, pray for us back here. Isn't that cool? I love that. So a request for intercessory prayer. And what does he want them to ask? They're being mistreated. I'm going to show you under the second point. They're being treated bad in Corinth. He doesn't say, pray that we'll be treated better. Look at our text, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified. Now, that's a mouth. So pray that our efforts to make Jesus known over here in Corinth, y'all don't forget about us, pray that we'll do a good job and God will do a good work. So he's requesting prayer for their efforts. And by the way, this is interesting to me, that the word of the Lord would spread rapidly. Now that's what the word, that first part, verse 1, that's what God's word does in itself. We don't spread the word. Okay, we plant the word. So that the word would spread, the word of the Lord would spread rapidly is something that God does. So we just, in my Bible reading this past week, I read over there in Hebrews, and Hebrews tells us that the Bible's unique. The word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. So how many of you are believers? Say amen. He's coercing us to say amen. If you are a believer, you have experienced God's grace, and by divine power, by God's work, he has spread his word to you. We know, and by the way, this helps us see what has happened to us. Because we'll start thinking like, you know, hey, I grew up in a Christian home, and yeah, we'll start seeing like we had some part in that, but it's all what God has done. And so that the word of the Lord would spread rapidly is what the word does in itself. So all we need to do is keep carrying the word and praying for God to make it effective. But look at the second part of, I'm still on point one, that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified. What in the world does that mean? And be glorified, that be honored. The word might be honored. And what he's talking about there, the word being glorified, is that God's word would have the effect on our lives that God would have it to have. It would be honoring to the Lord. And so, how many of you can think of people that you know that when they were lost, they were really, really lost. Bad people. You know, that's me. I'm thinking of me, right? First and foremost. They were lost. And then that God has graciously saved them, and now they are radically different in their speech, in their habits, in the way they conduct themselves, and how they care for others. And so what Paul's saying, y'all pray that us back in Corinth, pray for us that God's word will just spread, you know, like throwing a match into that dry field on a hot, windy day. The word would just spread rapidly, and then, I love that phrase, it'd be glorified. It'd be glorified that we meet Jesus, and Jesus so wrecks and transforms our lives that we look different, and we end up glorifying God, but we just have this powerful witness of how amazing Jesus is because he so radically changes us. And Paul's saying, that's what I want to happen in Corinth, and y'all have a part to play in this. I love this. Pray for us. So he's asking them to pray. And by the way, verses 16 and 17, and when we get to verse 5 in a minute, you're going to see it's mutual prayer. They're praying for the Christians in Thessalonica, and they're asking those Christians to pray for them. And so I'm going to state the obvious. You know, I'm one of those, I've got a note right here, state the obvious. We need to pray for each other. It is powerful. You know, like Christianity 101. And then, by the way, when I wrote that and I've been thinking that, I'm looking around and people like, hey, am I really being consistent to pray for these people? You know, I've got in the back of my Bible, I got a lot of things back there, but I looked at this morning. I've got the Logos member directory. Okay, and by the way, sometimes people call me like, hey, can you give me Stan's phone number? And I say yes, but I want to say, I bet you have one of those. I don't say that, I don't, but just anyway, like, but nonetheless, you can find phone numbers there, but better yet, you could open up and be like, Tomlinson, Scott, Helen, Vineyard, Shannon, Jan, Walker, Adam, Laura, Aylin, Ezra, Walker, Cody, Eric. Those are people that God's put in our lives and he's connected us with. That one application for the sermon is if Paul and Silas and Timothy over there in Corinth, and they're under the gun, and they're asking those Christians over in Thessalonica to pray for them, and they're praying for the Christians in Thessalonica, we probably, y'all, on the authority of the Word of God, need to be praying for each other, don't we? And by the way, that they're evangelistic efforts. So I have three men that I love dearly. One's my neighbor. Both two are my neighbors. Live in my neighborhood. One lives over in England that I really, really am burdened. They're not believers. That I'm burdened for God to save. And so I'm praying, right? So I love this. Paul says, pray for us that the word would spread rapidly. God, spread your word to those three men, two that live right over in McAllister Trails and one over in England. And so y'all pray for those three men. And that we would, and do you see, it's like, this is like just Christianity blocking, tackling fundamentals. Mutual prayer, prayer changes things, it's powerful. And he requests their prayers. Brethren, pray for us. And by the way, here's one more quick application under this first point. Pray for our missionaries. Because here's those three missionaries back in Corinth. And they're saying, man, I want to write you a letter and exhort you, but y'all pray for us. So, first of all, the gospel advances by the prayers of the saints. Second of all, the gospel advances despite resistance. The gospel advances despite resistance. Look at verse 2. Well, we'll get a run and start at verse 1. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you. Now, that blessed your heart. What a compliment, a commendation. Just as it did also with you. In other words, y'all pray that God will do in those people over at Corinth what he did in y'all. Lord, would you do, now there's no bragging in this, I'm thinking about how sinful I am. Lord, would you do in others what you've done in me? And by the way, if he can do that in me, he can do it, right? I love his language there. Just as it did also with you. Now that's got to make the Christians at Thessalonica feel good. Now look at verse 3. And that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. So the gospel is going to advance. It's going to advance because God has promised it's going to advance. Hey, y'all, we get wrapped up, you know, you get on social media, you get to looking at Twitter, you cut on, you know, the news, you get on Facebook, whatever, and you'll become very alarmed with the world. But let me tell you something. God's gospel cannot be stopped. And by the way, I love this. So look at this in Acts 18. Remember, this is, or not remember, they're in Corinth. I told you that earlier. Paul's writing to Thessalonica from Corinth. And here's the difficulty that they're experiencing back in Corinth. This is the account of that, Acts 18. The Jews in Corinth were giving Paul a very hard time. So Acts 18, verse 12. While Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him before the judgment seat, saying, "This man persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or a vicious crime, O Jews, it would be reasonable for me to put up with you. But if there are questions about words and names and your own law, look after it yourselves. I'm unwilling to be a judge of these matters." And he drove them away from the judgment seat. They all took hold of Sosthenes, a leader of the synagogue, began beating him in front of the judgment seat. But Gallio was not concerned about any of these things. So we got like a riot breaking out. There's all kind of resistance to Paul. And so Paul says in verse 1, "Pray for us that God's word will spread and it'll work its work in people." In verse 2, he says that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men. So perverse and evil, this is interesting. Look at the folks who are resisting the gospel. Paul calls them perverse and evil men. So their problem is that they're not rightly related to God through Christ. And so look at the end of verse 2. "These perverse and evil men, for not all have faith." He almost equated, if you don't have faith in Jesus, there's a connection to being perverse and evil. And by the way, doesn't that help our witness? Because you go out into the world and you're like, man, what have y'all found? Let me tell you what I found. Lost people often act very lost. Shazam. Right, I can't believe that lost guy. I'm not even going to sit with him at lunch anymore. Whoo, he's lost. So were we. And he says, look, pray that their witness will be effective, the word of the Lord is spread, be glorified. But look, he says there's a headwind, verse 2. "We will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith." Now, by the way, I added this. It's probably bad. This is where sermons get long. But I don't think it's bad. I think it's good. Listen, Acts is the birthday of the church. In Acts 1, you get the birthday of the church. And let me tell you what Acts is about. "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth." That's what God says. Holy Spirit, he's coming. And then the church is going to be born and just bust out of Jerusalem. Right? And you know what Acts shows you over and over again? Thessalonica. I just went back and showed you in Acts 18 where Paul's at writing from Corinth to Thessalonica. But you get this account of the early church. And let me tell you what, just at an overview, I'll simplify Acts for you. Acts of the Holy Spirit. What you see is the gospel is constantly being challenged. There are going to be people hostile to the gospel, challenging the gospel, and you're going to see the gospel consistently overcoming every challenge. And what Luke does is he gives you this phrase. Let me just read it to you a couple times. So Acts 6, verse 7. Remember, they're, hey, got a complaint, these widows being neglected. Acts 6, they fix the problem, elect deacons. Listen to this, Acts 6, verse 7. "The word of God kept spreading. The number of disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith." So they have problems. There's hostility to the gospel, but guess what the gospel does? It's like a, you know, jumping the hurdle. It just keeps jumping it. Well, and Luke does this every couple chapters. Then you go over to Acts 12. Remember when God killed Herod? That gets your attention, won't it? Y'all remember when God killed Herod? Acts 12, verse 23. "Immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and died." Now, I don't know about you boys and girls, but that's an interesting verse to me. Isn't it to you? Have your attention. Listen to the next verse. "But the word of the Lord continued to grow and to be multiplied." These themes. People don't like Jesus. People don't want to hear God's word. God's word just keeps on. Okay, that was Acts 12. All right, let's go to Acts 13, the gospel spreading to the Gentiles. Acts 13, verse 48. When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and all who had been appointed to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. Let me tell you something. God knows how to spread his word. Okay, that's Acts 13. Let's go to Acts 19. Verse 19, many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and began burning them in the sight of everyone, and they added up the prices of the books and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. Listen to verse 20. So the word of the Lord was growing and prevailing mightily. So guess what? Into Wiregrass, into the United States, in the hard places in our world today, God is able to spread his word. Now listen to how Luke closes out the whole last word in Acts 28. Paul's in prison, right? But the word's not in prison. Paul stayed 2 full years in his own rented lodging and welcomed all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching things about the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness unhindered. It's the theme that we got to hear, that you can't stop God's word. And so the gospel advances despite resistance. So we will encounter resistance to the good news about Jesus. That shouldn't surprise us, but it's not going to stop the gospel. And last word on the end of verse 2, and I'll move on. We will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. The underlying problem, the reason for their perversity and their evil, is they don't know the Lord. They don't have faith. Okay? All right, let's move on. Third, the gospel advances by God's power. So we're thinking about what part do we play in spreading the gospel. Third, we trust the Lord and it advances by his power. Look at verse 3, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. I love what he does there. Look at the last word in verse 2 is not all have what? Faith. Whole bunch of people don't have faith, but guess what? God is always faithful. I love that play on word. He does a play on words. He plays has a word play with faith. Not all have faith. The Lord is faithful. And he does word play with evil. Look at the rest of verse 3. He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. He's just told us about perverse and evil men. And God is able to protect us from them and us from the evil one. Well, let's think about this third point. The gospel advances by God's power. Now look, verse 2 says, we would come out of verse 2 and say, hey, he's asking them to pray for rescue, this rescue, right? That's a strong word. Human opponents who are trying to obstruct the gospel. We will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. And then he said, hey, before you get too alarmed about that, the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. And by the way, I love that. He's now writing to this shifts over. Look at verse 1. Pray for us. Look at verse 2, that we will be rescued. Now he's gone back to his focus on them. Verse 3, the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and protect you. He's now focused on them. So now we're back in Thessalonica. Remember in Thessalonica, you got Christians who are being persecuted. They're feeling the heat and the pressure for identifying with Christ, for standing firm for Christ, and he reminds them that the Lord is faithful. Let me tell you something, discouraged sister or depressed brother. The Lord is faithful. And he says that almost in passing, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Protect is okay, but that means he will guard you. He will guard you. And you ever been around some high-level government official? I remember when Condoleezza Rice was Secretary of State. I was at a conference in North Carolina. That's probably the closest I've been where you had like a national. And so she's speaking to the conference, and there's thousands of us in the arena there in North Carolina. And while she's speaking, there's like Secret Service guys like all over the stage and on the floor, and they're all like looking out. Let me tell you, those guys were guarding her. And I love the language of what God's word tells us about how the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you. That's present tense, so we can like stay right there where we are and protect you, guard you, and from the evil one, from Satan, from the adversary, from the slander. He will strengthen and protect you. What an encouragement that, y'all, we are going to make it to the finish line. You didn't come in here this morning to hear a sermon to say, hey, I hope we can get to heaven, but y'all, we got to work hard this week. We're going to have to do more Bible reading than we did last week. Way more praying. In fact, we're going to get the ushers back out. We're going to take up another offering because we got to give more, pray more, do more. And I love it. Paul says, no. Let me tell you, y'all, we know Jesus. And here, I know the truth. I'm not faithful and you aren't faithful, but the Lord is always faithful. And when he saves people, he keeps them. And he, the Lord, is faithful. He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. So the gospel advances by God's power. It's not our power. I'm on the home stretch. Fourth, what part do we play? The gospel advances when believers' lives give evidence of its power. The gospel advances when believers' lives give evidence of its power. Look at verse 4. We just read the Lord is faithful. Now, verse 5. Now, I love what he says, verse 4, I mean. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you. I love what he says there. We have confidence. Who's his confidence in? Look at verse 4. Is it in them? No. Where's their confidence? We have confidence in the Lord, and I love this, concerning you. So who has it saved these folks at Thessalonica? The Lord did. We got confidence in the Lord concerning you. That's really, really good language that you are doing and will continue to do what we command. So we want to help God. We want to be involved in God's work. That's appropriate. I started to say, did I say that? We want to help God. God doesn't need our help, but he uses us. God doesn't need anything, right? But we have a part to play in advancing the gospel. I don't mean this bad. I want to be really, really helpful to God advancing the gospel. Don't you? You do. We have confidence in the Lord. This is really, really profound concerning you that you are doing and will continue to do what we command. Now, this will be something y'all have never heard of. How many of y'all have ever heard of someone that called himself a Christian but lived in a hypocritical way? I know that y'all are like, maybe I read about that one time. You're like, I know people like that. Let me just ask you. You're like, David's giving us the answers to the... Does that really, really help advance the cause of Christianity? When people are like, hey, I'm a Christian, and you're like, man, that guy, he's a cheat, liar, good for nothing, no account, you know, however you would say that, you know, scoundrel. But he's calling himself, and so I'm stating the obvious. Prayer is powerful. The gospel advances more effectively when the people who are believers in Christ live in obedience to God's word. That's what he just said. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you that you are doing and will continue to do what we command. So Paul the apostle, and so he's written them this letter, and so the commandments are like, it's God's word, and they're at how they adhere or walk in obedience to the gospel. And I love what he's doing. In a really nice way, he's putting pressure on them to live in obedience to Scripture. He's putting some obligation on there. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you. Have you ever had a coach or somebody do that? Like, I know you can block this guy. I'm confident you can. He's like, man, he is knocking me down every other play. They're sort of like encouraging you to what? Man up, or I guess woman up, sister up, brother up. But he's calling on them to, don't you think about the fourth point. The gospel advances when believers' lives give evidence of its power. If I'm telling folks that Jesus is amazing and able to save them and transform their lives, but I'm living contrary to God's word, that's just talk, isn't it? In fact, we would be better not to have the talk. You know, we want our... Go back to chapter 2, verse 17. This has stuck with me from last week. Comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and good word. If we give good words, but we don't have good works, what happens to our witness? I accurately say, articulate the gospel. Now, by the way, we can fall down on either side. You ever heard somebody say, hey, we don't even need to say anything. We just need to go live for Jesus. That doesn't work. We need our works and our words, but what he's saying under this fourth point, the gospel advances when believers' lives give evidence of its power, that, hey, Jesus is powerful because I know that guy, and he really has been changed by Jesus. Fifth, the gospel advances because it is founded upon God's love. The gospel advances because it is founded upon God's love. Look at verse 5. We're almost to the finish line. Now he's back praying for them. He's going to close out this section with a prayer. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. That doesn't mean, now by the way, we should. That doesn't mean, may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Y'all need to love God better. More. That's not what that means. Not our love for God, but rather God's love for believers. So may the Lord direct your hearts into, here, may you be overwhelmed as you sit and contemplate how much God really, really loves you. Now, what is that going to produce in us? You talk about giving assurance. You talk about giving peace. You talk about giving effectiveness for service. So it's not try harder, do better. It's may the Lord help you fathom how much God loves you. He just like loves you. Look at the cross. May the Lord direct your hearts into that. And I'm telling you, I'm prone to that. I'm prone to a works mindset. And so I'll read that. That's why I need to dig into God's word. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. I'll read that and I'll say, you know, I don't love the Lord like I ought to. Do you? No, we don't. But that's not even the point. That's not even the point. Let me tell you what's true. If you're in Christ, you are swimming in the ocean of God's love for you. God loves you. Direct your heart into that, how much he loves you. Now, by the way, that, you talk about making the gospel spread, so people are like, well, Christians think they got everything figured out. Hey, we don't have everything figured out. But if we get to telling folks like y'all, and by the way, especially people that know us, like, y'all, God loves me, like warts and all, past and all, just he loves me. And let me tell you about his love for you. Now that's the, boy, you talk about a track for the gospel to run on. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. So here's what I would say this fifth point is, keep on remembering how God loves us. Now, I think through the lens as a parent, and I think they're both here, Maggie and Luke. Are there things, and you're safe, Maggie and Luke, nothing bad going down. Are there things that Maggie and Luke can do or fail to do? And especially when they were younger, they're like grown now. Even now, it gets harder. I mean, parenting's never done because you so love them. But are there things that they can do that as parents you would be more or less pleased with? There's a barometer of how pleased with your kids you are, you know. But let me ask you this, the love barometer, does that change based on what your kids do? That barometer is what? It's consistent. No matter where they go, no matter what they do, a good daddy, not calling myself one, I want to be one. I'm going to tell you what's not on the table. I love my children. How much more our Heavenly Father? We are so performance. Do I mess it up? All the time. But here's what he's saying. Here's what you need to contemplate. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. How much God loves you. Isn't that good? Amen. Amen. Listen to this. I love this from Mrs. M.E. Gates in 1886. She got it right. Thy love to me, O Christ, thy love to me, not mine to thee. This is my comfort strong. This is my joyful song, thy love to me. Isn't that a good word? Amen. Six, and finally, I'm right here at the finish line. The gospel advances because of the victory that Jesus purchased. The gospel advances because of the victory that Jesus purchased. You really can't separate that from point five, God's love, but look at verse five and we'll be done. May the Lord direct your hearts into two things, into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. What Jacob was reading about, fixing our eyes on Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. And so it is finished. So it's reference this steadfastness of Christ is referencing an action that Jesus Christ has carried out. Christ's endurance, Christ's cross victory, Christ's victory over sin and death and the grave. May the Lord direct our hearts into Christ's victory, and we would just swim in, God loves me. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Christ was buried. Christ was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Christ ascended. Christ is returning. And I love this. So the gospel advances because of the victory that Jesus purchased. And by the way, that in us to be those helping advance the gospel and also that message that others need to hear. Let's apply the word in four ways and I am done. First of all, ask the Lord to grow us in being a people who mutually pray for each other. By the way, we do that. So grow us in that. And I love that. In the 16 and 17 of chapter 2, he's praying for them. In verse 1 of chapter 3, he's saying, y'all need to pray for us. Just really, really beautiful and good. May we grow in being a people who mutually pray for each other. Second, I'm thinking about Paul and Silas and Timothy back there in Corinth and the brawl breaking out with Sosthenes, all this going down. Secondly, pray fervently for our missionaries, right? The folks at Thessalonica couldn't be in Corinth. And at the time, the folks in Corinth couldn't be in Thessalonica. And they both had needs, but we pray for our missionaries that God would encourage them, that God would sustain them, that God would protect them, that God would rescue them from perverse and evil men, right? Because where there are some of our missionaries in places where, I think of end of verse 2, for not all have faith. We've got some partners and a sister about to go to a place where hardly no one has faith. There's a predominance of evil and perverse men. So pray fervently for our missionaries. Third, invest our lives in spreading the gospel in us and those whose path we cross. Now, by the way, I'm not talking about, you might read that wrong and be like, well, what he's wanting me to do is to quit my job and go to seminary. No. If God's given you a job right there, invest your life in spreading the gospel. If God's planted you in that home, if God's planted you in the workplace, if God's planted you in retirement, these are the folks you play with and they're in your foursome or the folks you hunt with or fish with, Paul would say, I love this, finally, brethren, pray for us as the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified. How about at the hunting camp that the word of the Lord would spread to everybody at the hunting camp? Wouldn't that be good? We're going to go duck hunting this fall, winter, that everybody duck hunting would. I tell you the illustration I thought of all week and I kept tamping it down. Have y'all ever had the stomach virus real bad? I'm just going to go there on the illustration. And then the people, I remember it was like Mama, Daddy, June, Mary, Pam, me. Two older sisters, one younger. Y'all, I remember living over in this church-owned house in Jakin, Georgia. Pam can testify to this. One bathroom. Six people. You do the math. Six people. And then you see one of your sisters sort of hey, what's wrong with Mary? Your mom be like, well, she's got the stomach bug. Yeah. You didn't think much about it. And then Pam go down, June go. What would happen to you eventually? You know what, go. You'd be walking along, mind your own business, like this 200-pound gorilla, 2,000-pound gorilla grabs you by the nape of the neck. You go beat on that one bathroom door, and you're like, get out. Because guess what? The stomach virus has spread to you. Right? It's powerful. It's powerful. It's powerful. Powerful. I'm thinking about this. Invest our lives in spreading the gospel in us and those whose path we cross. Right? If we get some really bad something, if we're not careful to spread to everybody we know. Y'all, how good is the gospel? I'm thinking about my two neighbors. Got two neighbors, one really, really close house, one just a little bit further away. Man, I want the gospel to spread to them. That's good news. That's good news, isn't it? So invest our lives in spreading the gospel in us and in those whose path we cross. And by the way, God's put you in folks' path that he hadn't put me in, and vice versa. Fourth, man, Christians, we ought to be so, so thankful. Give thanks to God for our salvation in Christ and rejoice in his love for us and Christ's endurance all the way to the cross. I love in verse 5, other than exhorting them, the commands are to pray for them and to live like they're supposed to, but more or less it's just reminding them what they have in Jesus. Let me just remind you. Hey, and so we come rolling in like, okay, what do I need to do so God will be happy with me? And the Bible just crushes that and say, let me tell you, God is happy with us when we repent of our sins and trust in Jesus and then humbly and thankfully live for him. And I love what he says there. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. And that's my fourth. Give thanks to God for that Jesus has saved us and rejoice in God's love for us and that Christ endured all the way to the cross. Let me tell you, salvation is by works. Jesus is works. Jesus is righteousness. God puts it over on. He wrote that on our grade sheet. And he took all our sin and put it over on Jesus' side, and Jesus paid for it at the cross. So, Lord, may you direct our hearts this morning into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your word and, Lord, even Paul's appeal that they would pray for their efforts, their endurance there in Corinth. Lord, we want to see the gospel spread. We thank you that the gospel has spread to us. We thank you for the way it's spreading. We pray for our missionary partners, Lord, even as I'm praying this morning, those that are in difficult, unreached, unengaged parts of the world where believers, not many have faith. They're few and far between those who have faith. And so, Lord, we pray for your gospel advance. We pray that you would rescue us from those and them, from those who would want to resist the gospel. We thank you, God, that you are faithful. You are always faithful. Wherever we are, whatever we're encountering, you are faithful. And we pray, God, that you would guard us, Lord, that you would guard us and protect us. And we pray that we would bask in your great love for us and Christ's endurance, his victory. Lord, we haven't obtained a victory. We've received a gift. So we thank you for that. And Lord, we pray for you to get our priorities right, Lord, forgive us where we become so enamored with temporal things that we miss eternal things. And Lord, we pray that your word, the word of the Lord, would spread rapidly throughout our homes, our neighborhood, throughout the wiregrass, Lord, everywhere that we go, throughout the ends of the earth. And Lord, that's all you're doing. It's your idea. You have the gospel did not originate with us. We thank you that you are a God who loves sinners and who saves sinners, and you sent Jesus, and we thank you so much for that. And so help us to be a means to be useful to you in advancing the gospel wherever you would be pleased to use us, we pray. Pray you'd work in us as a church. Lord, I thank you so much for our church. And not a perfect church, we know that. Thank you for each and every member, and help us to, Lord, to just bask in your love for us today and your victory, and Lord, then out of that, for us to love you more and to serve you more faithfully. And thank you for the good fruit you're bearing in our church. We pray for our those members in our church body who are under heavy loads. Pray that you would minister to them. We ask you to work, Lord, in us for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon from Lagos Baptist Church. To learn more about Lagos, to plan a visit, or to reach out to our pastoral staff, visit us online at lagosdothan.org. We hope you'll join us in person this coming Sunday at Lagos Baptist Church.